I'm angry and I'm not gonna take it anymore.
You know, that's a increasing theme in our politics and in our society. People are mad. People are mad about a lot of things. You're probably mad about something too. And who can blame you? There's so much to be mad about. So we're going to talk about that and how that works in changing us right here on the Corner of Truth and Life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall and we're talking about anger and being mad today because, man, it seems like everybody's kind of ticked off and everyone's kind of mad. There's a lot of anger going around, and if you watch any kind of news show on any network, it's outrage over Trump, it's outrage over the people who hate Trump, it's outrage over, you know, whoever. Somebody's got anger issues about someone else, and we're all mad about stuff. I just was reading in the news about a town here in Maine where there's civil unrest within the town. There's anger, and a bunch of volunteer firefighters all turned in their beepers and their equipment because they're angry. And other people are angry about that. And it's just, you know, and living in a small town, there's oftentimes, you know, any little thing will trigger anger. And people are, oh, I'm upset about that. And, well, anger's fun. Now, I don't mean that an angry person usually doesn't seem to be having fun because they're busy being mad. And yeah, anger will do things like burn a hole in your stomach and things like that. If raise your blood pressure, there's negative physical responses if you're angry a lot. But anger is powerful. Anger stirs us up. Anger gets us going, gets the blood pounding, and it makes us feel stronger. Anger makes us feel better. I experienced this in my parenting. I can say to my kids, okay, now please do this. Please settle down. Please settle down. Please settle down. All right, guys, shut up. And now I'm mad, and then they shut up. You know, that first please settle down doesn't usually work. But once dad's angry, well, then they kind of jump. Well, that's not very good parenting. But it is effective in the short term. And so we find that anger is very useful in making us feel better, making us feel strong, making us feel powerful, and helping us get things done. And I think that is why we so readily go to it. And I think that's why people who are trying to motivate us, politicians or other people who want us to do something, they so often know that if they can make us angry, they can empower us to do what they want us to do. So let's think about that. So if I realize that anger is something that it's easy for me to go to in one way or another to feel stronger and to motivate myself or to motivate others, if I also realize that there are people who will use anger to try to motivate me to do what they want me to do, maybe I need to be on alert about anger. And the thing about anger is we usually, or oftentimes, sometimes we can say, you know, I shouldn't have been angry. But a lot of times we say, well, I shouldn't have reacted in my anger, but my anger was justified. And when we say my anger was justified, what we mean is we had a good reason to be angry. And because we had a good reason to be angry, our anger is therefore right. It is justified. And the thing is we don't normally ask, is justifiable anger justifiable? And you say, well, you're contradicting yourself. I am. Because having a good reason to be angry does not necessarily mean that I have a good reason to be angry. In other words, just because something is going to make me mad does not mean that therefore I should just embrace the anger and run with it. And yet usually because we look to say, do I have a good reason? We ask ourselves, do we have a good reason? And if we want to try to get over our anger, we try to look at mitigating things that would give us a reason not to be angry. Say, well, you know, I didn't consider this, I didn't consider that. And so we try to find reasons why we shouldn't be angry to help us deal with our anger. But what if you don't have a good reason not to be angry and you have plenty of reason to be angry? Well, if you don't have a reason not to be angry and you have lots of good reasons to be angry, well, then obviously the correct response is then to be angry. But is it? And should anger that I would call righteous anger be embraced? Because we call it righteous anger. And what we mean by righteous anger is anger that I'm entitled to, anger over the right things. And I'm not saying that feeling a sense of anger over something that you should feel a sense of anger over isn't a good thing. But what happens when we feel that stir of anger? Do we embrace it and use its power and let it fuel us and let it define us? Of now I'm angry and I'm angry for the right reasons. So, hey, I don't have to restrain this anger because I'm angry for the right reasons. Because it's righteous anger. And so then when somebody says, man, you're mad, you say, yeah, but I'm entitled to be mad. I'm entitled to be upset. I'm entitled to let this anger come flying out of me. I'm entitled to use this anger to move me forward because it's righteous anger. It's anger for a good cause. It's anger for a right reason. I deserve this anger. And all those, and we'll stipulate, all those statements could be true. I use the example of, if I punch you in the nose, and then you punch me in the nose, and someone says, why did you punch him in the nose? You'd say, well, because he punched me in the nose. And you'd sort of be right, but you'd actually be simplifying it. Because the reason you punched me in the nose is because you were mad. And the reason you were mad is because I punched you in the nose. So you chose, you got angry because I punched you in the nose. And because you were angry, you punched me in the nose. Now you say, well, duh. Wouldn't you be mad if you got punched in the nose? Well, absolutely. That's justifiable. If someone punches you in the nose, especially just for no reason, if they just draw off and punch you, well, yeah, you deserve to get mad. But should you? And this is where the Bible, a lot of people misunderstand what the Bible actually spends time talking about and what it's based in. Because, you know, they talk about turning the other cheek and all that, and they say, yeah, but, you know, sometimes that person deserves it. And then they talk about Jesus getting mad, and they say, well, Jesus got mad too, and they talk about when he cleared the temple. And that seems to be an angry time. The Bible doesn't spend a lot of time describing what Jesus is feeling, but I think we're safe to say that there seems to be maybe some anger going on there. He's overturning tables, and he makes a whip and is driving people out. So if he's angry, what is he angry about? Well, he's angry not about something that's happened to him. He's angry that these guys are putting a barrier into people coming to him because they were trading off of people's worship. And he got very angry about that because he wanted people to be able to come and pray and talk to God. And these guys were putting an economic barrier in the way. So you say, okay, justifiable anger. Yeah, for sure. But we can't take that little section out of context because Jesus was God. He was perfect. And therefore, Jesus as God would hate all sin. He'd hate all bad things. And he's living on earth, which is the home base of bad things and bad people doing bad things. And he was around people who were breaking his law all the time. In fact, he spent most of his time with people who broke a lot of laws, a lot of God's laws. They were called sinners. They were even rejected by society or by polite society, because they were so bad. And in fact, it even ruined his reputation hanging out with them, because they're like, why is he hanging out with those people? Those are bad people. And if they're that bad, if they're these huge lawbreakers, shouldn't they make him mad? Shouldn't they cause him a great deal of anger? And yet he's not mad. He's loving on them. And of course, that reminds us that even all the way through the Old Testament, a lot of people say, well, the God in the Old Testament, he's an angry God. But if you listen to him in the Old Testament, he's not. Now, he has anger. He has wrath. Yeah, that's part of him, and just like it's part of us. But every time he describes himself, he says, I am slow to anger, but abounding in loving kindness. So the God of the Old Testament doesn't talk about his anger half as much as he talks about how much he loves. And a lot of people just grab hold of the moments of anger and say, well, so he has anger, and he's angry. And the point is, God has every right to be angry. He has every right to be angry because mankind has messed things up. Mankind has rebelled. Mankind has sinned. Mankind has been awful. And you say, well, what does God do when he gets that angry? Well, that's where we get back to Jesus. Because God was so ticked off at our rebellion and our sin and our doing the things we shouldn't do. He was so mad that he came down and lived with us, got closer, and then died for us. He took out his anger on himself and punished himself, even though he was the wronged party, even though he was entitled to his anger. His anger was fully and completely justified. And he resolved it within himself by dying on the cross, so that we would not have to experience his anger. Now think about that in your context, because if you have a really good reason to be mad because somebody else has done something that causes you to be mad, to be like God would be to take that anger, instead of making them pay for it, instead of deciding, since I have a right to be mad, therefore I am going to be mad, say, I have every right to be mad, so I'm going to love them instead. I'm going to treat them well. That's the definition of mercy. And even though I have no good reason to do that, and I have every good reason to be mad, I am not going to have anger be what I do. Instead, I'm going to have love be what I do. Well, that's weird. But can you imagine, just even in your town, or in your business, in your home, or even just in the United States of America, if that's our attitude for anger, if our approach to anger was to say, I am so mad at you, I'm going to love and serve you. Oh, you don't deserve it. You deserve my anger. You will receive my sacrifice. How would that begin to change how our country works, how your town works, how your family works? How would that maybe begin to drain some of the ugliness and poison that flows between us when we're all so angry? It's worth thinking about, because it's what God did. And it's a different take. I hope you'll think about that in your anger today. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.